Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter back with another episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. This time discussing, well, plenty of racing coming up this weekend. Saturday, May the 7th, 2022. It is the first Saturday in May, which of course means there's a pretty big race going on down at Churchill Downs. There's also fantastic racing in the harness world at Woodbine Mohawk, at the Meadowlands, at Freehold Raceway. So we're going to discuss all of it right here on this show, and I'm happy to be joined once again by one of my recurring co-hosts here, Mike Probosi of Nahoo Picks. Mike, welcome back once again.
What's up, Edison? And I'd like to shout out to GB, who says that he's better than Robert Reed and I, but I'm here on Derby weekend, and that's all I have to say.
Well, Mike, I was going to start with two things not particularly racing related. Question number one was to see if you had a response to Garnett, so okay, that's already out of the way. Number two, the other non-racing-related sporting event that I know you're probably following are your Penguins. 1-1 so far, lost tonight, but you know, I got to say, I watched all of the overtimes on Tuesday, and that was a phenomenal game.
Great game, although we're on our third goalie now, and who knows how long that one will last. So pretty banged up. It's getting a little dicey. I don't think we're the better team, but Crosby has certainly come to play, so it's hard not to watch him.
Yeah, and that too, that win on Tuesday night coming with a backup goalie coming in overtime after sitting on the bench and, you know, staying cold for several hours and coming in there and making some pretty big saves right off of the bench to keep him in the game and eventually winning that game on Tuesday. So for sure, we'll wish them luck in that series against the Rangers. But Mike, we just got so much racing to get to. We'll just jump right into it. So we'll get to Woodbine Mohawk in the end. We'll get to harness racing in general at the end, so let's start over on the thoroughbred world. Of course, this weekend, Kentucky Derby weekend, Churchill Downs. They've already had 3 days of racing this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, some fantastic racing. 27 races remain, 13 tomorrow, Kentucky Oaks Day, 14 on Kentucky Derby Day. But unfortunately, it looks like there will be some weather down there as well as with us at the Meadowlands and in New Jersey. So it looks like it's going to be a rainy weekend everywhere. Still great racing, but definitely want to pay attention to your track conditions from Woodbine Mohawk to the Meadowlands to Churchill Downs.
Yeah, and Churchill can get a lot of rain. These Derby weekends somehow can turn out like that, and they can get a lot of rain in a very short period of time. I think Friday looks rainy, Saturday not quite as bad, but you never know there. It's very dicey and can be very wet. Let me look here.
Yeah. So, Mike, first things first, tomorrow, Friday, will be the Kentucky Oaks. We'll go as race number 11 on the 13-race program, about 5:51 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And a field of 14 will line up for the Kentucky Oaks this year, 14 fillies lining up. And for me, I thought the 7, Echo Zulu, is still the horse that I'm sticking with. 4-1 on the morning line. Nest is your morning line favorite. If I get anywhere near 4-1 on Echo Zulu, I'm very happy there. I know plenty of people seem to have gone against her recently, but That's the hill that I will choose to die on, I guess, is Echo Zulu tomorrow at 4-1. I will very happily take.
I think you'll get it. She doesn't seem to be – there's a lot of other buzz horses in the race, right? You have horses like Nest. Secret Oath is going to take money. Kathleen O is a horse that's getting a lot of attention. You know, these are horses that are all going to take money. I would say Echo Zulu, you're going to get 4 or 5 to 1. The question is, though – you know, one race so far this year. How is she going to react to going a mound and eighth? Yes, she was a champion two-year-old, but she got a late start to the year. Not sure, you know, off that one race, if she's going to be able to move forward. I do think a wet track does help her because she could be in front. But my question is, what happens come furlong number 9 with her?
Yeah, definitely is part of the questions to find out there, but I think 4-1 for me personally is more than fair value to find out that answer. But on the record here, Mike, what about you? What's your pick for the Oaks tomorrow?
I think there's some interesting horses in the race, but if you want prices, the 13, Shahama, this horse is training extremely well. Now, this horse came over from Dubai, is undefeated, and you know was basically untested over there, has gone to Pletcher, all the workout reports, and if you've seen this horse in the morning, she looks very good. Does she need to get faster to beat these horses? Yeah, I think she does, but she's won over a wet track in the past. She's in the right hands. You're going to get a decent price. Pratt lands there. I think that horse needs to be considered. And then another horse that's done pretty well this week is the 11 Cocktail Moments, 30-1 morning line. This horse needs to improve, but it's McPeak. The horse has shown really good energy all week long. You're getting a huge price. And if some of the favorites don't fire, you get a sloppy track, the race falls apart a little bit, I feel like she's going to be moving forward late. So I do like that one also.
And for anyone listening out there, I should put on the record that in the 4 or 5 years that I've been in this game, I have never once picked a Kentucky Oaks winner. So I have probably put in my usual curse on Echo Zulu. I do have a better track record with the Derby, though. I believe, let's see, I know I had Justify in 18, Always Dreaming in 17.
A lot of favorites.
Authentic in 20.
Oh, you had Authentic? And,
yeah, I liked Authentic. And then I think that's it. So 3 for 5 maybe on the Derby. So 0 for 5 on the Oaks, I believe, in the last 5 years, and 3 for 5 on the Derby. So take that as you will with my predictions here. But with that, Mike, let's go to the Derby. Saturday evening, the Run for the Roses, the fastest 2 minutes in sports, 6:57 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, race 12 on a 14-race card. We will have 23-year-olds lining up in the gate. Interesting race this year with the addition of the 4 Summer Is Tomorrow. You know, since we've gone to the point system, might be the first time we really have a true sprinter, per se, in the field. So clearly, the pace will be honest. And right, we still have the weather situation to sort out. It ended up being Zandon, who gets the morning line favoritism at 3-1. I believe I heard Crown Pride will take Mattress Mac money, which is always an important thing to note. Epicenter's kind of been maybe the book favorite for a while here, per se. Taiba's taken some significant buzz horse type money lately here, so 12-1 in the morning line might not happen there. And again, that's just scratching the surface of all the horses in this field. But for me, and again, the caveat should be noted that I took on the Turfway horses for the past 2 years for In the Money Media for our Kentucky Derby contender profile, so I'm probably biased by having done both Tawnyport and Tis the Bomb, but I don't really like any of the short price favorites here at the 4 or 5 to 1 range. I mean, your favorite's probably 4 to 1 in this race, but with that said, I don't like any of them, so I'm going to go for a bomb, Tis the Bomb, 30-1 on the line. You know, you listen to Ken McPeak say enough. I mean, clearly this horse is a, you know, champion on the turf, a phenomenal turf horse, just hasn't quite taken to the dirt. But at 30 or 35 to 1, I'm going to say the price is right to maybe find out if he's going to take to it on Saturday. So I'll go Tis the Bomb. Mike, what do you got for the race?
Yeah, I don't like Tis the Bomb at all. I think there's a couple things you need to ask yourself, and that's, what do you do with the California horses? You know, what do you do with the Baffert horses that have gone to Yachtin and are now shipping here off the last race? Because if you look at the numbers, they have the fastest numbers on the page, right? If you look at the Messier and the Taiba, you know, those horses have higher buyers than a lot of these horses do in this field. But, you know, how can you take Taiba off 2 races? They weren't even sure they wanted to race in the Santa Anita Derby. The trainer didn't want to do that. The owner overruled. This is Medina Spirit's owner who won the Derby last year, sort of, and then that was disqualified. So you have to ask yourself, I think, do you like those 2 horses? I think they're going to be involved early in the pace. This looks like a fast-paced Derby to me, a lot faster than usual. I don't think that the favorites are going to be able to sit and dominate up front. There's going to be pace in the race, especially if, you know, Classic Causeway, who always breaks quite quickly from the gate, that horse has to go. Some of these inside horses, the 8, the 7, the 6, you know, all these horses want to go early. So what does Rosario do with Epicenter? Does he go? He can certainly go early, or does he sit back? So I feel like he's probably going to get the best trip in the race. But my horse, I think, is the 8, Charge It. Very big chance to improve. Was, you know, had a really tough trip at Gulfstream there in the Florida Derby. I mean, the comment says hit gate and then lugged in 2 times in the stretch. If you watch the stretch run, this horse was coming, but all over the racetrack. Now, is a 20-horse field going to be any better? I'm not sure, but I do feel like the upside is there. Luis Saez knows that he can get him closer early. This horse has shown speed in the past. This horse could get that perfect Derby stocking trip. And if you get an improvement, jumps up to that 100 buyer or so, I think that he has a definite chance to win and you're getting a big price. So I'll take Charge It in the Derby.
Well, Mike, the joy of pari-mutuel wagering is you said you don't like Tis the Bomb. I don't particularly like Charge It, but hey, we both like big prices. So if one of us is right, we'll definitely be a big price. But Mike, since we're on the record here, next time we see each other in person, probably sometime in the summer at the Meadowlands or something, I think we need to have a little like a drinks and dinner bet or something on this. Charge It versus Tis the Bomb. Heads up, whoever crosses the wire in front.
At least I know my horse is going to take to the dirt. I know that.
Okay, there we go. It's on the record. Who's buying drinks and dinner next time we meet up in person? Charge It versus Tis the Bomb. So even if they're 18th and 19th crossing the wire, at least we have some action on that. So we'll take note of that going forward. But, well, Mike, we'd obviously love to spend all day on that card, but we've got plenty of other cards to talk about. I've got them all laid out here. So I guess we'll flip back a few hours earlier in the day, about 4 p.m. in the afternoon at Freehold Raceway, or even earlier, maybe 3:20 p.m. will be the Lady Suffolk. 4 p.m., the Dexter Cup. First couple steps on the road to the Hambletonian in 2022. And for race 8, the Lady Suffolk is a 3-year-old filly trot. Our morning line favorite is the 2, What Should I Goo? Richard Hands owns and trains. Russell Foster drives. I'm very happy to be calling some Maryland connections. Horse I know well from the Maryland circuit. In fact, the Maryland Sire Stakes champion last year down at Ocean Downs. Went 156-2 earlier this year at Harris Philly. And I think has won in with a pretty serious chance. But right to the inside, Little Pink Lies. Oki Svanstedt, of course, always very good with his trotters. And this one, a third-place finisher in the New York Sire Stakes final. So those two probably taking a lot of action here, but definitely a good field of eight here for this year's Lady Suffolk.
Yeah, it looks like a good race. That what Should I Goo? One from the 7 hole at Philly. Not an easy thing to do, especially first start out of the gate. The horse actually raced really well at 2. She draws perfect. I would think that she's going to get a trip. You know, usually Ox sends everything, especially from the inside. I mean, that horse tends to like to go to the front. So I feel like they're going to line up 1-2 around the track. The 2 has a little bit more recency and, you know, could be, you know, on the improve. I really like that first race. I think it's very difficult to win from an outside post there. And then you have a horse like the 7 Bomb Hugger, who just won Nomers of 4 at the Meadows. And was 1-9 in that spot. That's an interesting horse from an outside post. I know the horse is 7-2 morning line. This horse will be a lot higher on the board. These stable horses are running all over the place and doing extremely well. I think that horse needs to be considered at a much overlaid price.
Yeah, that one for sure. Anthony McDonald's in town to drive Bomb Hugger, also at 7-2 on the morning line. Then rounding out the field here, just to go through it real quick, Little Pink Lies, Oki Svanstedt from the rail, What Should I Goo, and Russell Foster. Mighty Angel and Emmanuel Miller, that's the 2nd of 3 Oki Svanstedt entries in the race. Giza Dreams and Casper Fauge, pretty interesting, and Jeff Gregory. Extraordinary Lady S, Yannick Gingra, that's the 3rd of 3 Oki Svanstedt entrance. 7 Bomb Hugger with Anthony McDonald, and the 8 Gertrude and Tyler Miller. Again, they will contest the $58,000 plus Lady Suffolk Trot Race 8 at Freehold Raceway on Saturday afternoon. And Mike, if we flip back to race 10, the Dexter Cup trot final for the 3-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters, $150,000 plus on the line. The first major step on the road to the 2022 Hambletonian. And, you know, I'm aware of some people out there that really seem to like Justice. Obviously, the computer morning line doesn't. It's 7-1. But New York Sire Stakes horse ended up as the 3-5 favorite in that final at Yonkers. Did disappoint, though. Ended up finishing 5th in there. But nonetheless, a pretty good season last year as a freshman. But the 6th Pretender, non-winners of 2,500, admittedly probably didn't beat a whole lot in there, but that 12-length victory at 1-20 at Freehold in his seasonal debut was pretty impressive, and he's definitely got more recent experience over this Freehold track than many of the rest in this field. So Pretender, 5-2 morning line favorite with Yannick after a 154 flat qualifier as well last week at the Meadowlands. So those two will take a good bit of action. The 2 Brave by Design finished runner-up quite a few times last year in the New Jersey Sire Stakes at Freehold for Team Bongiorno. Will also probably take some money in this spot, but a good field of 8 for this year's Dexter Cup.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to get by Pretender there. Has a little more recency. This horse won $115,000 at age 2. That's more than the 7 Justice did. Albeit had more races, but this horse has a 54-mile already this year. Likes the track. I would expect to be out early, and Yannick can kind of do whatever he wants there, depending on what Alk decides to do from the 7 hole. He can either let him go and then retake or just take the front and go on with it. I would expect that that horse is going to be extremely difficult in that race.
And speaking of Team Gingra versus Team Svanstedt, Yannick Gingra and Oki Svanstedt teamed up last year with Incommunicado to win the 2021 Dexter Cup. So they will both be looking for two in a row, either Yannick Gingras a driving double or for Åkis Fonstedt a training double, as they will leave there from post 6 and 7. The entire field, it's Paymac and Andy Miller, Brave by Design and Joe Bongiorno, Grizzly Bear and Austin Siegelman, T-Rex Blue Chip and Danielle Dubay, Barcoins and Todd Shadle, Pretender and Yannick Gingras, Justice and Åkis Fonstedt, and Pour Me a Double and Lucas Wallen. The field of eight for the $150,000 Dexter Cup Trot Final Saturday, race 10 at Freehold Raceway. Mike, we continue on our quest here if we're looking for some post-derby action. Well, first things first, Rosecroft, we will be racing this weekend. I guess I haven't got a chance to stay on the show for what it's worth. We have 4 live days left at Rosecroft, no Sundays left the rest of the way. We will race Saturday post-derby, Saturday 7:15 p.m. This week. Race next Wednesday and the following Wednesday, May 11th, May 18th, and then we will close on Preakness night at 7:15 p.m. as well. So, again, racing at Rosecroft this weekend. 13 races, pretty good-looking card there if you take a peek through that. Saturday night, if you're looking for some post-derby action. But next, Mike, we'll move to the Meadowlands card Saturday evening. 13 races, and oh, hey, you'll be at the Meadowlands this coming Saturday on a little trip of your own.
Yeah, hitting the Meadowlands, heading out with my friend, Mr. Don Tiger, who owns Charlie May, and we're going to spend Derby Day at the Meadowlands, hopefully, and get a picture taken in one of the graduate races.
Yes, definitely some fantastic racing this weekend at the Meadowlands. Well, first things first, I think one of my personal favorite horses, obviously last year, I think was no secret, was Venerable, who is in race 9 tomorrow night at the Meadowlands. So I'm not working tomorrow night. My parents will be with me up in New Jersey this weekend to catch a little Dexter Cup action. Then we're going down to Atlantic City Saturday night to watch the Derby. But we'll be at the Meadowlands watching a couple races as a spectator tomorrow night. So I'll try to schedule dinner, hopefully, around Venerable, because I would definitely like to see her come back. Bella Bellini is back on that card, and there's many others. Trying to think through here, Mike, without the program
Atlanta.
In front of me. But again, say that
Atlanta.
Again.
Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, Atlanta's on there as well. I mean, there's a great, great racing tomorrow night on that card, as well as Saturday. But, Mike, what about for you? And any highlights you're looking forward to seeing before you dig too deep in the program?
Well, I mean, obviously. I mean, how about Charlie May last week? I mean, was he any good coming off the bench in that straight open against Older, and David Miller never really lifted a line and kicked in 25-3 to win in 48-3. I mean, how can you not be looking forward to this season that, and I'm a little biased, but this horse is going to have, I mean, the sky's the limit, you know, now against straight 4-year-olds, he's going to be extremely tough if he's anywhere close to what he was last week.
Yeah, it should be noted, I did pick Charlie May on top in that open. I still did not think he was going to win like that. I mean, he looked phenomenal doing it. And, I mean, Mike, you can agree with me, depending on the race and scenario and whatnot, but more or less, I don't think you're going to see – you got 3-1 on Charlie May, paid $8 to win in that race. I don't think you're going to see that again for a while.
No, I would expect he'll be sub-even money, especially in this against these straight fours. I mean, anything can happen. A horse that raced really well last week that's racing in that race that could be in line for an exact as the One Carbine, that horse kicked 25-1 from an absolutely impossible spot and now enters into the graduate off that race. That horse is getting better and I think is extremely interesting. That could be the horse that fills out the exact. And there are other ones in there too, Southwind Gentry, Hellabaloo. Those horses are all going to take money. Betters don't tell, I think. Don't sleep on Carbine this year. This horse is pretty nice.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Last week, I had I'll Drink to That singled in my late pick 4, but Carbine was coming home strongly, 25-1 last quarter. Didn't quite have the ground to get there, but he was definitely closing late. So, yeah, that was very impressive. And 10-1 on the morning line, he definitely could be a price worth looking at. We're discussing race 6 here, start of that early pick 4 at the Meadowlands Saturday night. The Graduate Series continues. Race 7, we got some trotters in there. Delayed Hanover is in there, who was my pick in the Hamiltonian, I do believe. We've got Rattle My Cage, though, and Son of a Mystery that will take some pretty significant action. Race 8, get a chance to see. I'll Drink to That. Luz Perlman coming back, the champion last year in the Little Brown Jug. And one of my other favorite personal horses, a Buck Bet Hanover, come back as well in that 8th race. So definitely some good racing there. Rocky Road Hanover as well. You know, Rocky Road Hanover, as well as 1-800 Dexter, unfortunately, in these Graduate Series, has post 10 twice with two pretty good horses.
Yeah, I mean, it's only leg one in the series, though. So, you know, a lot of these horses are coming back off extended layoffs, you know, with just a few qualifiers. I wouldn't think that all of them are going to be all out the first week off the first, you know, they're just trying to get points and do their thing. So intent is a big question. You have to ask yourself at a lot of these races, you know, how good is this horse going to be? Similar to Charlie May last week. How did we know he was going to be that good off the bench? It's not like he was raced hard. He just is that much better. So how are these horses going to respond to moving from 3 to 4? What's the intent here tonight, first leg of this series? There's a lot of questions to ask when you're putting these tickets together. And price also is something that needs to be considered. I mean, do you really want Rocky Road Hanover off the bench, sub 3 to 1 versus some of these other horses? I'm not sure that I do.
Now, when we get to race 9, I think that race is going to be a very intriguing matchup, especially considering conditioning and post positions. Racine Bell, 11 for 25 last year, made $280,000 plus, but has been racing recently over at Yonkers in the series. Ends up finishing second in that final two drama act as the 2-5 favorite, but she'll look to bounce back here. But of course, further to the outside, we get Horse of the Year, Test of Faith, coming back. Pretty good qualifier at Philly, pretty good qualifier at the Meadowlands. Comes back after going 14 for 16 last year and made over $1 million. What a horse that is, and she is back in race 9 Saturday night.
Yeah, she doesn't like to lose much, does she? You know, only lost twice last year and finished second. She's only really lost 3 times in her life, finished second, and those other 3 starts. Do we think that she's cracked for this? Does it really matter? But she does hook tough older horses in here. Racine Bell racing extremely well there at Yonkers in that series and that matchmaker. She's already made $200,000 this year. She likes this racetrack also. 48-1 mark here. If anybody's going to beat her, it's probably going to be her. But there's some tough, you know, tough mares inside also. It's going to be a good race. I can't wait to see this one.
And then the last main feature on the card Saturday night, race 10. The open pace, field of 6, but Nicholas Beach versus Work on a Mystery also could be a pretty intriguing matchup.
Yeah, Nicholas Beach really loves the Meadowlands. I mean, last year went 47-2 here. Remember how good he was early in the season last year at this racetrack? Added Lasix last time. Definitely raced really well there at Pocono. He's been a bit everywhere. Yonkers, Pocono, was Meadowlands earlier this year qualifying. Won 6 times last year. We know how fast he is. But again, you know, facing a bunch of really tough horses in here. So another one. What about the 3, Ignatius, who's looked extremely good so far, 3 straight, had a perfect trip last week, but still kicked 26 and really never looked a loser.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's one that I'm still waiting to see it. I don't know. He has moved up the ladder nicely. It has been 3 for 4 now since coming from overseas, but you know, it might be a pretty good price on Saturday night if Nicholas Beach, Working on a Mystery, takes some action. I mean, Dragon's Head, Fun at the Beach. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to go in this race, so it definitely should be a pretty good open. Fantastic card in general, Saturday night at the Meadowlands. And Mike, enjoy, since you will be there on site.
Absolutely.
And with that, we will turn our attention to the final card we'll discuss, which we'll discuss in some good depth here, the Wood by Mohawk card. 12 races starting at 7:15 p.m. or 7 p.m. after the Kentucky Derby. Probably will be about 7:15 after Derby, everything gets by, so for race 1. But we do have 12 races on the card, some Ontario Sired Spring Series Finals. That's a mouthful. We'll discuss on the card, as well as a free-for-all pace on the card as well. But we'll jump into the early pick 5, Mike, which kicks off with an Ontario Sired Spring Series Final. The 3-year-old Phillies Trotters going for $48,400. And we saw the sequence maybe a little differently. You end up spending $9.60. I spend $3.60. I think it's going to be pretty formful. I guess you kind of do too, not spending a whole lot, but you do go deep in a couple legs trying to beat some favorites. But here in race 1, I will not try to be the favorite. The 2 Hang On Baby has done it pretty well. First over last week, 2 back, went all the way from post 7. Done it very nicely as odds on choice in both the first 2 legs of this spring series. And I suspect she will go on and get it done to complete the series here to win the final. So I will single the 2 Hang On Baby. But Mike, you'll use one more and at a pretty good price too.
Yeah, I'll use one more. I mean, I would say that she's probably the reason that it's a short field in here. She's dominated in 2 races, but was slowing down late in both of those races. And the horse that's going to be closing here is the 3 All About Addy, who raced pretty well in that first leg on April 21st, was kicked 27-1 and really never threatened the winner, but was doing, you know, good things late, and then ended up in the 10 hole in its last start. Really no chance there getting the hopples, just kind of got a trip around, kicked out late, kicked 28-1 versus Hang On Baby. Really didn't get close, but you get a better draw this time. You get a shorter field, and you're going to get a price, because I think the other money will go to the 4 Making Magic Tonight, who is a bit quirky and certainly has breaks in 3 out of its last 4 starts. So that horse has some speed, also added the hopples last time and was better. But give me Hang On Baby, but give me All About Addy also to give me some value in that first race.
So 2 for me, 2-3 for you as we go to race 2. Continuing on with the Ontario Sire Spring Series final, the pace starts for 54,100. These are the 3-year-old fillies, a full field of 10. And Mike, this is one of those legs where I guess maybe you thought you could get some value here, possibly, going 4 deep, 4-5-7-9.
I think it's a tough race. I mean, Wildcat Star has won 4 straight, but somehow J-Mac doesn't end up here. Wasn't there last week, and Trevor Henry came first up, and this horse steamrolled and won at a 4-1 price. So now these are the same horses. They're all sort of lumped together, and trip is definitely going to matter. So I think you need to use her, but there's other ones in there, like the 5 Girl in the Tavern, who really has been roughed up in 2 starts and just missed. Certainly has taken money. Now you get McClure in the bike, I think worth using. The 9 From a King to a Queen. This horse steamrolled early on April 21st, was out by as much as 8 lengths, and then just ended up hanging on late versus these, and then went from off the pace last time. McNair took her back. She still came home 28 flat. She's racing okay. She needs a trip, but I think she's worth using. And then the 7, Better Double Flip, where J-Mac lands here, has gotten checks in the series, but really I don't think has shown her best. Has certainly been bet like she's been the best in the race, has been the favorite its last 2. Could get a closing trip, really needs a setup, but you got 8-1 morning line on a horse that's been bet in the first 2 legs. I think you probably should use that one also. So it's 4-5-7-9.
I end up going just 2 deep in here using the 4 Wildcat Star. As you mentioned, Trevor Henry picked up that drive last time. We'll pick it up again this week here as James McDonald ends up on the 7. But 2 wins so far here for Wildcat Star, looking for the 3rd win to complete the series. But I actually prefer here the 2 Addictive Behavior, who went all the way on the front end from post 5 last time out. Did steal a middle half there of 59-4 on the front end, but did it very nicely as a 3-5 favorite. Louis Philippe Waugh was driving for the first time. He'll pick up the drive once again here tonight. That was actually the first win of her season, so she'll look to make it back-to-back wins here in the final. So I'll just go 2-4 pretty uncreatively here in the final in race 2. Now, race 3, we have 5-year-olds and youngers, non-winners of 3 races or 30,000 lifetime. And for me, this is one of the races. Obviously, with such a cheap ticket, got to try to beat a favorite or 2 somewhere. So this is one race where I will go against the morning line favorite here, Cold Creek Queso, but that will be one you'll use, Mike, and you also use one other.
Yeah, and the horse I think that's going to ultimately be favored is the 2 Caligny Hanover. This is not a good morning line. This horse was in way tougher. That numbers of 3 race with Knock 10 and Acapulco Sunburn, and that was a better race than a lot of these horses are coming out of. This horse was back off the bench, has gold lines last year and was getting checks, made 48,000. Draws inside, was 3-1 in that race. I would expect him to be lower here. You get an inside draw. The only horse I think he has to beat is the 1 Cold Creek Queso, who ended up winning a grassroots final back in October and then has 2 preps for this. The first one was a little bit slow. The last one, though, was a 9-length blowout win with a 26-4 final quarter and 53-3. That's a quick qualifier for these types. You get an inside draw. Sori knows him well. I think it's those 2 in race 3, so I was 1-2.
Oh, I ended up going with the 2 Caligny Hanover is one of my selections, who, well, there's sometimes I prefer the post-time board. There's sometimes I like the morning lines, and yeah, you might be right. I might like the morning line here more than I'll get on the board at post-time, but yeah, this one, pretty impressive mile last time out, finishing 4th there. end up in that outer flow early, 26-4 kicker, 52-4 final time for the mile against what appeared to be a tougher field, as you mentioned. Also, though, the other ones that I'll end up using here, the 5 and the 7. The 5 Bottle Rocket was another one that was closing pretty well there. Came home in 26 flat, couple 26 second last quarters in a row there. Ended up being a huge number last time out from post 10 against 9-1-3 company. Ended up parked early on and just couldn't really get into a good spot early. You know, was able to leave, get away third in some previous races. So hopefully here with the better draw, maybe Bottle Rocket can be involved a little bit earlier on. Should still be a pretty big number here. So trying to get some sort of price maybe in the sequence. On the 7, Many Moons, the other one I'll use here. A couple of okay qualifiers. Nothing spectacular there, but this is a horse that was pretty classy last year in terms of being in there in the Champlain, and the Saguaya, the Dreammaker. Ended up picking up checks in all three of those series, or on those stakes as well, and ended up in the Metro Final as well. Finished 10th in there, though, the big 46-1 number. Never really involved there, but nonetheless, raced pretty well last year. Coming back to start the three-year-old campaign. Again, not sure what to read into those qualifiers, but James McDonald will stay aboard here, and I will use that one as well. So I'll go 2, 5, and 7 in race 3. So Mike, we go to race 4 next. It's the 5-year-old and younger nominators of 4 races, or 54,000 lifetime. Pacers for a purse of 21,000. And in here, you will end up 3D.
3D, but I think they're three of the fairly obvious ones. The 2, Knock 10, raced very much better in its last, kicked 26-1 versus a really sharp Acapulco Sunburn. Yes, let me get that right. Who was 2-for-2 at the time and well-meant in that race. This horse was able to kick by late in the stretch at a decent number. Now you get an inside draw, I think worth using. The 3, It's in the Stars. This horse has closed very well against toughies. Horses like Texas Mickey, Twinbee Heartthrob, PL Ozzy, all would be bet in this race. Another inside draw. It could get a setup too. There looks like quite a bit of speed in this race, and that's what this horse needs. He has talent, but he definitely needs things to go his way, but I'll use that one. And then the 5, PL Octavius, worth a use, probably should have won off its last, but got just a little steppy those last couple steps. Looked for all the world like he was going by PL Ozzy, and then the last two steps, he just found a way to kind of stutter enough to lose a nose. This horse has speed, kicked 26-1 in that race at 10-1. You're not going to get 10-1 in this race. You get McClure. A definite use for me, especially with his speed early. So I was 2, 3, 5.
Like you, Mike, I will use the 3, It's in the Stars, and the 5, PL Octavius, for many of the same reasons. But the other one I'll throw in will be the 1, Ron, who comes out of the Ontario Harvest Series last year. Was odds on choice in many of those races. Won 4 in a row there. In fact, those were all 4 of his wins last year. Came off of a 3rd-place finish in a qualifier. Ended up getting caught to the stretch. Kicked home 27-3, 54 flat. So maybe didn't kick home quite as quick as some others in there in that qualifying event. But nothing to read too much into, I don't think. You know, again, was racing pretty well last year. So I think we'll try this one on the 3-year-old debut. 1, 3, 5 for me in race 4. Mike, race 5 is non-winners of 17,500 in their last 5 starts. Non-winners of 28,000 in their last 10 starts. Pacers for a purse of 25,000, and I feel like I've asked it before, and I'll ask it again to another guest. Line Drive Hanover, from the rail this time. Morning line favorite, 9-for-9 in 2022. Will we try to beat him or single him?
I'm going to single. I'm curious, though, that this horse, you know, is nominated to the graduate, and they are racing that. I'm pretty sure we talked about at the Meadowlands on Saturday, but yet this horse somehow lands in this nominators of 17.5 last 5. Because they keep adding the conditions and, oh, it's numbers of 150,000 life or whatever that this horse needs every week to go against these condition horses. So, you know, he'll be 2-to-5 again. And, you know, he likely is going to win again because he's better than these horses, you know, which fine. That's up to them. That's, you know, this is a little bit tougher than last time. You have horses like Cadillac Bayama in here. You have Sintra, who's yet to really get himself straightened out. Mappo's Lion is racing very well. But ultimately, the 1 is supposed to beat these horses if he continues to do what he's been doing. And I think that he will. So I'll just eat the chalk in the last and single Line Drive Hanover. But it would not surprise me if he goes down.
I will say the exact same thing, Mike. No need for me to reiterate all that. So with that said, I also single Line Drive Hanover. But in particular, Mike, and maybe you agree with me on this, but if someone's going to beat him and kind of we're going to look back on him and be like, oh, duh, this kind of seemed obvious, I think it's Cintra. I mean, we all know how good he was last year and in general. I mean, 9-year-old versus the 4-year-old. We all know what kind of class he had last year in preferreds and opens and gold cups and et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that's the one I think that's going to do it, if anything, and might kind of seem like an obvious thing. I mean, Cintra was just a 6-5 favorite, obviously disappointed in there quite a bit, but against tougher company, non-winners of 22,000. So now all of a sudden, down to non-winners 17.5. And yeah, obviously it's line drive Hanover here. But again, that might be one of the better prices you're going to see on Cintra in a while.
Well, I mean, he's made $1.5 million. Cintra from a few years ago would absolutely crush these horses. But, you know, here we are. He's 9 now. Last year, he sort of tailed off toward the end of the year. Really hasn't sparked it back up. Now he's stuck in numbers of 17,000. I mean, this horse is a stakes horse. And he's been a stakes horse every year. He doesn't see these kind of, you know, lower levels. Can he wake up? Yeah. Oh, but last week he was 6-5 against similar horses and really didn't do a whole lot of anything. He never took a step forward. He's going to have to prove it to me. I would kind of take a stand against. I'd be more inclined to use a horse like the 2 Cadillac Bayamo, who came off the layoff and kicked 25-2 against a horse of Mappo's Lion who had gotten away on them. Ultimately held on, but that was a huge race from that horse. And, you know, he won 5 times last year. Does he have the class of some of these others? No, but maybe he's getting better. And this is a new 4-year-old also. So don't sleep on the 2.
Well, either way, we will both be singling Lion Drive Hanover, so hopefully he will get it done for us. But to recap our tickets, Mike, for you, $9.60. It's a 2-3 with 4-5-7-9, with 1-2, with 2-3-5, with 1. For me, just a $3.60 investment. Maybe play it for $1 if you'd like to spend more. It's 2 with 2-4 with 2-5-7 with 1-3-5 with 1. And with that, Mike, we will discuss a couple of featured races later on the card before we wrap up our discussion of a massive day of racing this coming Saturday. But we'll first flip just back one race, race 6, the 3-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters, $52,600 the purse, another Ontario-sired Spring Series final. And I didn't get creative here either, Mike. Personally, I like the 1 and the 2. Century Invader, Stable Genius, both likely the favorites here on the board of post time. But I do prefer what I think will be the better price of the 2, the 2 Stable Genius, just a very lightly raised 2-for-2 now. But has done both pretty well. I thought a pretty nice improvement last time as well. Ended up first over there and ended up grinding in the stretch there to win by a head. 55-3, much better time, much better progression there if you see from the qualifiers up through these first couple races. So I'd like that one to take a step forward and get it done here over Century Invader. I'll go 2-1. Mike, what do you think about this race?
I agree completely on Stable Genius. If you watched his last race, the horse was extremely game. He looked like a horse that had a lot more experience than he really truly does. I mean, he's 2-for-2, but that race was very, very, very sharp, like you said. They just weren't getting by him in the stretch. He fought hard late. He draws inside again. And you're right, he should be a decent price again. So I do think that he's very much in play over the 1 Century Invader, who was 1-9 versus similar types, horses like Timel Tiggs in his last race. And that's a nice horse, but he lost Stable Genius on April 22nd. So I would say that it's those 2 and everybody else. Timel Tiggs is obviously another one that's coming along, and he's got a big kick. He just tends to kind of come up a little short late. So, you know, he kicked 26-2, and that was good enough to be beaten 2¾ in his last to Century Invader, and he's drawn wide. So I would think that he comes along for 3rd in the race, but it looks like 2-1 to me also.
So we will agree on that one. We'll go next to race 7, also one of the Ontario Sired Spring Series finals. Pacers for purse of $56,200, 3-year-old Colton Gelding Pacers. And, well, first things first, Mike, I just want to say on the record for what it's worth that if he should draw in, I've kind of been on the bandwagon of the 11, stop the shooting for a little while here. 3rd and a 5th so far in those first 2 legs. Again, he'll need a scratch to get into the field here of 10. But if he draws in, that's maybe one I would take a look at. Maybe not as a win contender, but at least maybe as a price underneath. But with that said, Mike, what about the actual field of 10 we have in front of us? Who do you like?
Well, I mean, Chucky Hanover has been very impressive, especially in its last 2, has controlled both races. No horse has really gotten within 2 lengths of him so far in this series. And you know, he's had a little bit of, you know, soft interior fractions, but he's controlled the race and I would expect him to control it again. I don't know what Sports Secret's going to do, but Sports Secret just finds a way to lose races at times, it seems to me. So his speed, I would expect he's going to be moving a little bit quicker early, and it'll be 7-3, 3-7, 1-2. And we'll see how Sports Secret does with that. But how about the one final cheese recipe? That horse raced extremely well at 30-1. Was never off of Sports Secret's back and last, and then outkicked him in the lane at 30-1 to win, coming off a 26 final quarter on April 22nd. So this was a bit hidden in that race, draws inside. Any repeat of the last, and I think that the one has a big chance. So I was 7-1 there.
Well, I guess I need like three shovels here. I'm going to, in the next two races, pick like three hills to die on here. Number one is cheese, final cheese recipe. You know, I guess it's the whole like, you know, go to the wedding, funeral, that whole thing or whatever. I did not like him at 31 last week. Very impressive race, but you're going to get a much shorter price this week. So I'm still going to go against. Alternatively, Robert Reed Jr. and I both against Chucky Hanover last week. So there's the second hill that I'll die on that I'll go against him again, but I will use him second. I'll go with the three Sports Secret on top here. Who I disappointed, of course, last time out, but you know, ended up pressing on their first over on the outside, cleared to the top, just kind of got worn down late by Final Cheese Recipe, who came back to get him. I think he'll turn the tables here in the final, so I will end up with with Sports Secret on top of Chucky Hanover. I will go 3-7 in race seven.
Are you a fan of horses that lost at 1-9 and on the race before? Because I'm not a fan of that. If you're 1-9, you're supposed to win. You're not supposed to be getting tracked down by 30-1 shots.
I think it depends on the way you do it. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, that race in particular and several races for Sports Secret, a lot of outside posts lately. So, you know, I think if he's going to try to be aggressive here in the final, he's going to have a little easier time of it. Got away third last time out, you know, had to press on past that half and, you know, maybe took a little something out of him. So, I don't disagree with you, but, you know, you're probably looking at a better price here in the final, obviously.
I would hope so.
You know, and again, I didn't personally think he was going to be bet down that much last time out. I mean, with that said, I mean, to be fair, then there's also the discussion of, you know, I could go take $1 million and make any horse 1-9, and if he loses, does that make him the, you know, horse
but
that should have won?
1-9 in the race. I mean, it's not like that somebody crazily bet him to 1-9 and he should have been 4-1. He was supposed to be, he was even money the race before. He looked 1-9 in the race and he got beat by the 30-1 who pressed early. He was able to get by and he's supposed to dust in the stretch and he couldn't. So I'm very much against Sports Secret in this race. I don't see how he gets any sort of better trip. He's going to get more company up front with Chucky Hanover in the race. I just don't see how he, if he couldn't win last time when he had it his own way and he's 1-9, how he's supposed to win this week.
Valid points, but, you know, like I said, I just think you're looking at a horse that, first of all, I mean, obviously, even money two back, but 1-9 last time out was still just short. I still thought he should have been 3-5, 4-5 range. Maybe I'm crazy, but.
Still lost.
So that's how what was that, Mike?
Still lost.
Correct. Still lost. But, you know, I mean, Chucky Hanover's going to have to leave from post seven, so Sports Secret very well could end up getting that trip right behind the leader and go around track and, you know, pop pocket. I mean, I think he could, in theory, get a better trip, but. Again, the joy of paramutual racing will agree to disagree. So you will be against the three. You will go 7-1. I will go 3-7 in that seventh race. And so, Mike, I guess with that said then, I guess I'll ask you, if he was 1-9 last time out and he loses there, he gets Chucky Hanover this time, what are their prices at post time?
I think Chucky Hanover is a favorite, probably around even money. I would think Sports Secret is 2-1 or more. The one's going to take more money. The four, I think, takes money with, you know, that horse has been bet every part of the series, and you have J-Mac, and that horse is a closer in a race filled with speed. It's Gallucci. That horse is very interesting also. I mean, there's, you know, he hasn't done very much wrong in four starts, so he's possible to me. But I feel like the one was hidden last time and probably shouldn't have been 30-1, especially off that 26 kicker, and that was a much, much better race. You know, whenever McNair decided to go with Sports Secret, this horse stayed right on its back and was able to track him down. So I do like the one, and I do feel like 4-1 morning line, this horse will be nowhere near 4-1. I would expect 7-8, maybe close to 10-1 on the one.
All right, well, that's a look there at race 7. And next, Mike, we will turn to race 9, which is the free-for-all pace. A field of 6, it's Wheels on Fire, Jimmy Freight, Desperate Man, and 3 others in there. And I will pick my third and final hill to die on, and that is I have been trying and trying and trying to beat Jimmy Freight. He's won 3 in a row. I'm going to go against him once again this week. I'm still going back to Wheels on Fire. He's got to win one of these weeks. He's drawing inside this week on Jimmy Freight. And again, you're starting to see a better price on Wheels on Fire. You're pricing it again, right? I mean, you're looking at 4-5 last time with Jimmy Freight versus what I thought was a pretty solid 2-1 on Wheels on Fire. Obviously, Jimmy Freight wins again. So again, maybe I'm in the wrong again here, but I'll go 2-4. But we can't forget about Desperate Man, North America Cup winner, coming back to start the 4-year-old season.
Yeah, you know, Wheels on Fire has drawn inside Jimmy Freight his last 2 also, and somehow still couldn't get the front. So I don't really know how he's going to get the front here. I just feel like Jimmy Freight's better than he is right now. He's won 5 out of 6 at this level, and he controls the race again. I mean, he's outside. He can either duck or, you know, press on. And, you know, when he does press on, Wheels on Fire can't seem to keep up with him. I feel like Desperate Man is going to do what Desperate Man does, and that's come out the back and try to make one move late like he did whenever he got good last year. Even when he won the North America Cup, he got a stone cold trip from the back with a 55 half to chase down, and he was very good then. This isn't the goal for this horse, obviously. I mean, he's got Confederation Cups and all kind of stakes coming up. So, you know, Charlie May won last week, really not the goal. Can he win? Sure he can win, but give me Jimmy Freight with his $1.5 million in class and, you know, someone who's been dominating. I'll take him again, and you'll probably get even money, maybe a little bit more, and again, and you should take it.
All right, so you will end up with Jimmy Freight. I will stupidly try to beat him once again, so I will take Wheels on Fire. Again, for our listeners, you've heard me say this week after week, so you probably just go to Jimmy Freight at this point, ignore whatever I'm babbling on about. But with that said, should be a pretty good free-for-all pace there. And yeah, so Desperate Man, Jimmy Freight, Wheels on Fire. Jimmy Freight at 8-5 on the morning line, Wheels on Fire at 5-2, and Desperate Man at 3-1. So Mike, that's our look there at 12 race program at Woodbine Mohawk Saturday night. Again, all sorts of just phenomenal Saturday racing at everywhere there is racing. We've got the Meadowlands, got Mohawk, we've got Rosecroft, we've got Freehold, we've got Churchill Downs racing. And then of course, the thing I always love about Derby Day, Mike, is basically any track in the country, more or less, is probably racing Derby Day. I mean, there's places like Harris Philly and et cetera, I think of that don't race any other, you know, don't usually race Saturdays, parks on the thoroughbred side, but they race Derby Day.
Yeah, you got Meadows also. I think they start early around 11. Every racetrack is going because everybody comes out for Derby Day. So you have people at the racetrack. You might as well have some live racing, get those people betting on track, get those people enjoying the races. They might come back a few more days, and it's the biggest day of the year. There's so much extra money in the pools, and it's money that's not sharp money necessarily. It's guys that are betting colors, or, you know, people that are betting names, or grandma likes the 6, or, you know, birthdays and things like that. If you're a horse player, you have to be playing Derby Day. This is the absolute Christmas for horse players every year. Get in, get involved, take a seat, you know, play some numbers, play whatever you want. Just have fun. Get out to the racetrack. I mean, it's the best.
That it certainly is. Like I said, I will look forward to doing my job at Freehold, calling our 13 race card, again, including the Lady Suffolk Dexter Cup, looking very much so to calling my second editions of both of those stakes. And again, Mike, I'm sure for you it sounds like a fantastic day as well, being spent at the Meadowlands watching not only live racing, but also the simulcast of the Kentucky Derby. So, Mike, we'll wish you the best of luck Saturday evening and afternoon as you watch both Meadowlands and the Derby.
Can't wait. Don't forget, go NahuPicks.com. We'll have full cards from the Meadows, Meadowlands, Woodbine Mohawk, Century Downs, all kind of good harness racing that day. Get in, check it out.
Yeah, definitely go on and check out Nahu Picks, as always, for plenty of great content there on the handicapping side of things. But for that, that will just about wrap up this episode here. So, Mike, once again, thank you, as always, for being guest on the show here.
Anytime. We covered a lot of ground tonight, I think.
We definitely did, Mike. So, you know, we can go back and do all the comparison analysis later on. You know, you versus Garnett, we can find out very easily who is the best handicapping guest that I've got.
I'm in good company, though, just to be mentioned with those guys. So I'm happy to be involved.
Well, with that, racing fans, we'll wish you the best of luck this weekend. Wherever you're wagering, be it, gosh, a Woodbine Mohawk, be it at the Meadowlands, be it at Rosecroft, be it at Freehold, be it at Churchill Downs, be it anything you're wagering on. Also, plenty of sports action, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, all sorts of lovely gambling action for you this weekend. So whatever bets you place this weekend, we hope they're winning ones. And we'll talk to you here next week on First Over with Edison Hatter.